So we are on the bottom of page Shin Samach Tes, and this is part of his commentary still on Siman Shin Chaf Aleph, and specifically his discussion about medication which is taken in an ongoing way. But really, he's sort of veered off from the whole ongoing way thing, as we'll see here. He's commenting technically on the words in the Shulchan Aruch that talked about taking a medication on Shabbos. Shekachu derech refuaso lishtoso shiva yamim ze achar ze. Because the medicine is normally taken 7 days consecutively, and therefore this is, and so forth. That was, you know, we discussed that last time in terms of why that logic works. We have three different views, which we're going to come back to actually a little bit, so it's worth the reminder. One view was the view of Rav Shlomo Kluger. That's the one that's going to be brought back into our discussion, which is that where you started the course of medicine before Shabbos, so you have your medicine already. And it's a type of medicine which doesn't only involve potentially grinding, but even cooking. Which, you know, we're generally not concerned about that on Shabbos. We don't say, lest you cook. You know, don't eat food lest you cook on Shabbos. So so that was his justification for taking the medicine in an ongoing way on Shabbos, versus the idea of Rav Moshe, who said that, you know, barring the case in which somebody is ill and needs to be treated, you know, would be starting the medicine on Shabbos too, but in, you know, a lighter case than that, the concern that somebody will be so agitated and upset about his inability to take the medicine, so fine, let him take the medicine. And then we had Rav Shlomo Zalman, who simply said, if by not taking the medicine he could relapse, then you're taking it to prevent the kind of harmful situation which would warrant taking medicine. And that was his justification. But he says here the following, Geber hasovel me'ein onot, literally, a man who suffers from lack of strength. And it's talking about it. I put on the sheet. It's talking about erectile dysfunction. So, tipul begeber shesovel me'ein onot, parentheses, likoy bizikafa. Kayemet efsharut shel tipul be'ein onot, al yidei hazraka atzmit shel chomorim, marchivei klei dam, לתוך הגופים המחילתיים הנמצאים לאורך עבר המין אשר בהימלאם בדם בלחץ גבוה גורמים לזקיפת העבר. So I had never known that there was such a treatment, but apparently there is, to treat dysfunction with an injection. And the idea is that there is a section in corpus cavernosum is the English that he throws in over here, which is packed with small blood vessels. It's sort of spongy, I think, is my impression. And by injecting it with chemicals, you can duplicate the effect of that blood would normally have in flowing through there. And that's the remedy for the dysfunction. So he says, regarding this, omnam. He says, you're injecting into blood vessels. And normally that's a concern. Right? When we discussed, we had a shiur a few years ago on the issue of injections on Shabbos. So the worst kind of an injection from a halachic perspective is an injection into a blood vessel, as opposed to intramuscular, you know, the subcutaneous. The problem with injecting into a blood vessel is that normally you need to pull some blood back into the tube in order to ensure that you're actually in the blood vessel, that you're seated properly. So he says, even though you're injecting into these blood vessels, because those b'nigud lahazrakat toch v'ridid regila, as opposed to a normal intravenous injection, ein kol tzarech lishov dam k'dei liros im omnam hamachat nimtzeis b'makom matim. There is no need to draw blood to make sure it's seated properly. Ki agufim halalo meleim b'chlei dam. That part of the body is filled with blood vessels. Ve'in koshi b'chadirat aleihem. I should say b'chadirat aleihem. There is no difficulty in reaching that particular spot, such that you're going to, you know, have a problem. Ube'is hadikirah b'hazraka. And in stabbing and injecting, nitam lahargish b'ofen barur im hamacha nimtzeis be'emes b'makom matim. You can feel whether it's in the right place or not. B'matzav kaze, in such a situation, ha-gever mazrik et ha-chomer la-atzmo lefnei ha-tashmish, the man injects himself before sexual relations, and that's the way that it's taken care of.
What's the malacha if you take blood back?
Causing bleeding. That's, yeah, you're causing blood to leave the blood vessel. Now, there are other things that he would have to take care of in this circumstance, the same way we have in general with injections. So, for example, the issue of assembling the needle. or disassembling the needle, you know, opening a package, sterilizing the spot, or whatever else has to be done, all has to follow halachic restrictions. But the injection itself, he says, is not a concern. So the question comes up, would one be allowed to do this on Friday night? We've just said that we're not concerned about drawing blood out, but in general, is there anything to stop him from doing this Friday night? So he says something here which really, I was kind of surprised. Nonetheless, he says, V'nishal et ha-she'la mutar lo la'asas kein b'lo Shabbos. V'hine, e tifkud aver kol shehu mugdar kisakanas aver. He says, dysfunction of any limb of the body is called danger to the limb. Meaning, in Arachaim Shin Chav Ches, where we get the principal discussion of medicine on Shabbos, we define various types of illness, disease, harm to the body, and what you're allowed to do in those circumstances. And one of them is what's called Sakanas Aver, danger to a limb. Now, the word Aver isn't really limb. There is no English word that translates the word Aver, because Aver refers to any one of 248 units of the body, which in the list in the Mishnah in Kalim includes bones, it includes certain soft tissue organs. It's not easily defined. We use the word limb because, you know, we're kind of stuck. But the translation of aver is aver. In any case, he said one of the categories is danger to an aver, and the question and so he says, any time that an aver will not function normally, that's called sakanas aver. Umutter liyehudi lavor al iser derabbanan lelo shinui v'matzav zeh. And in a condition in which there is concern about sakanas aver, the rule is you're allowed to violate a derabbanan, no shinui required in order to save it. V'hazurakazos she'ena kolalas shiva shaldam l'toch hamizrak mugderes ki iser derabbanan l'choladeos. And such an injection, which doesn't involve drawing blood out, you know, from the blood vessel, that is defined as a rabbinic prohibition at worst, according to all views. So that's the argument. Now, actually, before we get to the Menachas Yitzchak, let me pause there. If you take a look at the sheet that I gave you, the Badei HaShulchan is a commentary to the Ketzos HaShulchan, which was one of the fundamental modern works in the laws of Shabbos. So he writes regarding Sakanas Aver. V'nira, it appears, de'b'chol makom sha'amru Sakanas Aver, that whenever they talk about danger to an Aver, lav davka Sakanas bitul ha'aver lagamri. That doesn't only mean danger that the person would lose the function of that Aver entirely. Ela afilu ha'sakana hi sheha'aver yisha'er chalash kol yamav. Even if the danger is that this Aver will remain weak for the rest of his life, it will not be able to function the way that the world generally does. Kigon, for example, that if a person isn't treated, he's going to have a limp. Or his arm is not going to function appropriately. That's also considered sakanas aver. So if a person has, let's say there's a break, right? Some kind of a broken bone, and let's pretend that you know, because I'm making up the case anyway, you know that it's not life and death, you know there's no risk from fragments, there's no, nothing like that. However, you also know that if it's not treated immediately, it's not going to heal properly. It needs to be set, whatever it is. So he says that's considered sakana saver. This, especially when you're dealing with a concern for medication on Shabbos, because the bottom line is we don't grind up medicine anyway. So if your sole concern is, well, this is medicinal, my answer to you is, you know, get real. We don't do medicine anyway. So certainly, if I can justify this as sakanas aver, I'm going to do so. We're dealing with a lightweight, relatively lightweight case anyway. Clear? That's the idea. I also brought you on your sheet from the Nishmas Avram further along. I think we actually saw this one last cycle when we did Nishmas Avram. Source Beis. He says, V'yesh makom lomar shesakanas aver ein zu rak be'aver adam meramach evarim shebo. אלא כל חלק מסוים של גוף האדם אשר אם לא יתאבלו בו כעס, יש חשש שיצא מפעולתו, גם זה נקרא בשם סכנת עבר. He says, Turchiner should not have limited עבר in סכנת עבר to one of the 248 עברים. He says, not necessarily. Any unit of the body which should not be treated in a timely way would no longer function. That's called sakanas eber kigon, for example. And here he says something remarkable. This is all just as remarkable as what we just said here. He says, rechem ha'isha ashemi tafkidol aledas yiladim, a woman's womb, which the normal functioning of a womb is childbirth, at least at a certain age. If it's not treated properly by taking medicine, kayam chashash shelo tuchali kanes lahareyon, so they will be concerned that maybe the person would not be able to become pregnant. Gam zenik v'b'shem sakanas aver. That's also sakanas aver. It's mind blowing to me.
Why, if there's an infection or something that needs to be treated?
No, because the case that you're giving is the case where there's an infection. In other words, there's a disease, there's an illness. What I'm talking about is this person is in a steady state. They're not getting any worse. Nothing happened to inflict this on them. They have difficulty becoming pregnant for whatever reason. Their ovulation cycle is off, whatever it is. And what we're going to do is not save it from harm, but rather improve its level of functionality to what we consider the normal level of functionality.
By taking medication?
By taking medication. Right?
But in order to keep it functional, you have to take the medication regularly. Like,
or whenever you need it.
Or during a certain period.
But whenever it's necessary.
Yeah.
In other words,
fair.
To go back to the man's case, so he wants to be with her tonight, so he's going to need to take his medication tonight. But it's not as though...
He must...
Yeah, but it's not just that. Nothing is going to happen to him by not taking this medicine. There is no danger in the sense of something deteriorating. It is the way it is. Not only that, but I use the description of normal functioning. What if the woman is past the age of normal childbirth and she wants to become pregnant? Or, analogous case, the man, and he's past an age where, this is considered to be normal functioning. So he wants to be able to take this. Is it really danger to say, well, now it won't function? That's the normal state of things. Now, on the other hand, if I were really to take my argument seriously, you would then be able to answer me and say, well, we consider it, life-threatening if somebody who is, can end 100 or 130 years old, if their heart stops beating. You'll tell me, well, that's the normal way of hearts at the age of 130. But we still break Shabbos for that. But the cases still feel fundamentally different.
Right.
It's not like the way the body of Shalom describes it.
I mean, it seems like an extension of something that was stated for a very different purpose. It doesn't feel like this is what Sakanas Eber is. Nonetheless, that's his psak, and it is in line with the body of Shulchan in the sense that you're talking about this part of the body not functioning the way it normally does. But this seems like a very interesting reach. So now we go back into the Nishmas Avraham to where he's going to quote you the Menchas Yitzchak, because he quotes it, but I'm not clear that this is justified. After having told us about being able to do this shot, and it's only a derabbanan, presumably the derabbanan involved is that it's shchika samanim, the issue of medicine. In other words, there's nothing wrong with injections per se, but the issue is that you're providing a medical treatment. So he then writes, Ukvar hitir minchas yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak Weiss, the minchas yitzchak already permitted lecholele for somebody who was a heart patient, lakachat kadur b'lel Shabbos kadesh yuchal lekayem mitzvas ona, to take nitroglycerin. We, I think, mentioned it already last time. He could take that on Friday night so that he can fulfill the mitzvah of ona. Gam inkol hevdel ukvar kiyem mitzvas peruvu ulo, and it doesn't matter whether he has fulfilled peruvu before or not, because that's not our justification for allowing him to take this. And he says, "V'hiskimiti mori harav Rav Neuvert shlita." So Rav Neuvert agreed. Now, if Rav Neuvert agreed, then I am no one to disagree. But that's what he says. The thing that I found surprising was that he quoted the Minchas Yitzchak in support, because the Minchas Yitzchak did permit taking the nitroglycerin, but not because of Sakana's Aver. If you take a look at your sheet, that's source Gimel. He says, Bidvar shenish al me'ish echad sheyesh lo mechosh belibo. He was asked by somebody who had a heart problem. Ve'akein lefi pekudasa rofim muchrach livloa eze samei refuah kodem v'yachar tashmesh. He has to take certain medicine before or after relations. K'dil chazek ez mizgo shalo yazik loa tashmesh. To strengthen his constitution such that it won't harm him. V'zeh she'ela refuah hanal. So that's the question. And he writes, Kvar amarti, I've already said in some previous conversation, Kvot harasarav to the daiti shari, I believe this is permitted. However, you, the writer, challenged me, saying, right? He said not to make a barrier in front of a lamp to enable Tashmish Hamita on Shabbos, because you're not allowed to perform Tashmish Hamita in a room with light. So you can make a barrier in front of the lamp. And what's clear there is even if it's only a derabanan, it is prohibited. You're not allowed to make the machitza. You're not allowed to make this barrier. The imkain yesh lomar du adin likach samei refuah. So the same thing should be true regarding the medicine. After having rak yisur mid derabanan, mishum shema yesh chok sam manim. Even if it's just a derabanan of lest you grind things up, aser. But his response is no, that actually is the basis for proving that you may do this, that you may take the medicine. Because we actually permit you to have a non-Jew build that barrier, because that's then a double derabbanan, the derabbanan of asking the non-Jew to do it or benefiting from his work, along with the derabbanan of putting up this mechitza. Like the Chasam Sofer wrote, so I say the Kolshkin benidon didan. Certainly, in our case, based on that which is clarified in the Radvaz, benidon chola she'en bo sakana, regarding a patient who is not dangerously ill but is badly ill, in muter lishtos mashkam shal shal b'Shabbos, is he allowed to take something that will cause him to have diarrhea on Shabbos? Ubaze harich lo chiyach me Ramban Rashba v'Rav Hamagid v'Aran. If you're allowed to tell the non-Jew to do the malacha, the double derabanan, then you're certainly allowed to drink the medicine. Because all you have is the decree of lest you grind things up. You are not performing an act that has any prohibition involved whatsoever. It's entirely a concern that you might perform an entirely separate act. He says the whole thing of telling a non-Jew to do this is derabanan. And what we're talking about here is a derabanan. And it's lighter than telling the non-Jew to do this. So if we will permit telling the non-Jew to do this derabanan for the sake of a mitzvah, so too, you're certainly allowed to take the medicine. We talked about whether this is really analogous or not, I think when we did this discussion the last time. But the point is, and the reason I bring this is, because he mentioned nothing about Sakana Sever. It wasn't about that. The reason why he was matir was because he said, well, I have a basis from another halachas. I'm not clear on this unless he's simply bringing it to say, in addition to my argument that it's sakana sever, there's also the Menchas Yitzchak's argument about the nitro. Right. But they're fundamentally different arguments.
What's this whole question introducing here? Because last time we said, you can take the nitro plus rain because of the mitzvah bo na, right? And here, this is just another way to do the mitzvah now, but it's a medical issue. But once
right.
We say it's permitted,
right? So I think the difference really is that in the case of the nitro, it's sort of clear that he's a chola, right? He is somebody who is ill, and so we are justifying this in the context of treating someone who is ill who wants to perform a mitzvah, which will hypothetically endanger him, you know, still further. Whereas in the discussion we're having now about the injection, if you had asked me before reading this, I would have said he's not a chola. I wouldn't have called this person ill, certainly not dangerously so. And the novelty really is the sakana sever part of the conversation. That's why, again, I think the Menchas Yitzchak's point is not clearly relevant.
But the bottom line is, though, it's only permitted because you want to allow him to do the mitzvah of Ona, so it doesn't have it, but he's sick enough.
Right. Be careful in the pronunciation. Ona.
Ona.
Right. Oh, no, is abuse. We want to distinguish. He doesn't make the argument that this is for the sake of a mitzvah. Or to put it differently, you know what? This actually helps to refine the problem that I have with this. If you're going to tell me this is about sakanas aver, then I would say he should be taking this medicine or this injection or whatever it is, even if he's not going to be with his wife. Right? His body is dysfunctional. Why isn't he taking this medicine all the time? To make his body functional. Now it's Shabbos, now I'm going to let him take the medicine. Why? He should take this medicine every day. I mean, it's ludicrous, but it highlights the fact that there's no way that this is sakana zever.
Right, right, it does.
I have a very hard time with this idea. It's very strange to me. Okay. I would write to him and ask him, except that the answer is going to be a shrug, and okay, but still.
And we don't use this very much anymore.
Well, the injection is not...
not very commonly used.
Right, and I'll get to that. Okay. Kosev Hashut Shevet HaLevi, back in the Nishmas Avram. The Shevet HaLevi, Rav Wozner, writes, Benidon didan, in our case of the injection, Ein Daiti Lahatir, I wouldn't permit. Came in the mitzvahs, Ona Miskayim Egeradin Gam B'Yom Acher, because he forced you to do this Friday night. Dahinu Pamachas B'Shavua, right? You could do it some other day. The mitzvah of Ona is supposed to be once a week in a normal circumstance. Yeah, that varies based on the person, the man's trade, when he got married there, and so forth. V'lel Shabbos Kodesh, Akoponim, Rak B'Gedor Lechatchila. The idea that it should be Shabbos, yeah, that's a Lechatchila. U'pashut Dein Lichas Avurzeh, Afilu Iser Kal Derabanan. But you're not going to override even a light rabbinic prohibition. You wouldn't override for this. So that's his argument. And he says, see, in... you're right? Mm-hmm. Okay. He says, I'm going to quote you Rav Yashiv also in a moment, which he is right after this little two-sentence paragraph. He says, Hayom, today, Yeshnan Gilulot, there are pills. Shagam Gormot Kishu Lakishui, Vagir Lokechos and Ksaslef Nekium HaMitzvah Shal Tashmish HaMita. So the pills, and that'll take care of it for him. Those are fine for the same reasons that we gave earlier, which I assume means the Sakanas Eber discussion. And now he gets to the point of Rabbi Yashiv, which is going to quote Shlomo Kluger about taking medicine in an ongoing way, which is the only reason that this is here in this section, because nothing had to do with this. But V'chein Amar Li Agon Rabbi Yashiv Shlita V'hosif Shebetziruv Daito Shlomo Kluger Zatzal. Right? Rav Kluger wrote that our medicines have things that are mixed in by being cooked in. And we don't have a concern of lest you cook on Shabbos. And then he says something. This is another novelty. When we think of a medicine that you're able to continue because you already took it during the week, we usually think of antibiotics that you have a 7-day course or something like that. He says, no. Presumably, this person took the Viagra or whatever it was at some point midweek. It wasn't just a Shabbos thing. Therefore, taking it on Shabbos is considered continuation of the medicinal treatment. It's a mind-blowing idea. Vikosev, look, this is Rabbi Yashiv. I think that anybody who thinks that he's dealing with a kula here is misunderstanding what's going on. I assure you that no halachos were harmed in the making of this statement. Vikosev, and he wrote, Chola she'ino chola kol aguf. Leave aside our discussion now. You have a patient who is ill, but not his whole body. He started taking pills before Shabbos. And if he stops on Shabbos, medicine won't work. Is he allowed to continue on Shabbos? So he goes back to our case about soaking the chiltis. The Gemara Shabbos Kuf Mem, Mari Bishriyas Achiltas B'Shabbos, we deal with this Chiltas, the Asafatida that they used as the medicine, soaking that on Shabbos, where we said in parentheses, Daf Pitzonin Ika Yisur Midivrayim Kimavur Sham, where even if you're soaking it in cold water, there's no heating up the water problem. But there is a problem, it's a discussion in the Gemara there about Uvda Dechol, it's weak to activity. Vash'elahi. If he's doing nothing, no violation of Shabbos in making the medicine. The medicine is already made. The only question is there any issue of grinding up ingredients? V'alzeh pasak agon or Shlomo Kluger. This is what we had discussed already. B'sefer Achayim Siman Shin Chav Ches Yud. The behischil lakachas may erev Shabbos yesh makom lahatir. That if he started taking it before Shabbos, that's good enough, and then there is reason to permit. And then in the brackets he says I'm a chidushay aran Shabbos kuf mem shehim yesh mafarshim demasha amru besugya mistakein lakdavka lemitzder machmas chol yo. This is a separate discussion that the Gemara uses the term mistakein, which sounds like you're dealing with someone who's dangerously ill, but it doesn't mean that. It means somebody who's in pain. If he was dangerously ill, all bets would be off anyway. Okay, we're going to skip the next paragraph because it's what we've already seen. It's the quote from the Mincha Shabbos with the piece from Shlomo Kluger, which we already discussed in context when we first mentioned Rav Kluger. So jumping to the bottom of the column. When I asked him this question, and this is the question about what constitutes continuing treatment. So we asked Rav Yashiv, Halo eina chola lokeach es hatrufa kol yom. He doesn't take it every day. Yeah, he takes it when he needs it. Amar liya gon shlita shegam ze nikra hemshech tipul.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't. Okay. I don't need to challenge that. That's what he said. Ve'omnon. I think of all the ramifications now. I mean, does that mean the medicine somebody took 3 weeks ago?
But even for the same purpose.
Yeah.
Right? So if you look at it for the same purpose, it still can't. It still.
I mean, it makes
sense
to look
within.
Into,
it make, if you're looking.
If you're looking at it from Shlomo Kluger's perspective, which is you took it before Shabbos, therefore we know you have the medicine and there's no concern that you're going to make new ones. So it makes sense. If I'm taking it with Moshe. You know, he's going to be agitated that he doesn't get to take it now because he's been taking it all along. But obviously, Rav Moshe is going to look at this and say, you got to be kidding. But that's the, that's the argument. Maybe it fits with the Shlomo Zalman also about harm being done. This is the harm you tried to forestall last time you took it. And so now you want to, prevent it again. Maybe the argument could be made.
I mean, like if you're, maybe not the best example, but if someone's on a morphine after surgery, so maybe he had a good Thursday, didn't take it. Maybe Friday too, and then Shabbos the pain comes back, and he'll be agitated if he can't do it.
I think that does fit.
That does fit, but it's, yeah. It's
the only question I would have is what if Shlomo Kluger's logic is no longer true? In other words, I had right when I had my back problem a year and a half ago. So I had a thing of Celebrex. So I took that religiously, so to speak, at the time. Thank God, got better. Let's say a month later I had some kind of a relapse. I still have some in the bottle, thank you. So, all right, so I can still take it based on Rav Shlomo Kluger, right? Let's say I finished my 30, right? 2 months later, it's back again. I go back to the pharmacy, I get a refill. I could argue, well, it's what I've taken medicine for on Shabbos before, but Shlomo Kluger's logic was you have the medicine, therefore there's no concern that you're going to grind something
up.
You
have it now. You have it before Shabbos.
Right.
You have it before Shabbos.
I have it before Shabbos.
You have it before Shabbos. You didn't go out on Shabbos to get
it. But I didn't take from this new batch before Shabbos.
It's the same medicine.
I don't know. I don't know. This whole thing is very odd.
You have it before.
I don't know. The whole
thing
is very
strange. You can
argue
the same thing with the Viagra. Because you go into a different pack. You've done your pack, you're going into a different pack.
No, but at least it was in my possession.
It still is in your possession. On Shabbos, it's in your possession. You didn't go out on Shabbos.
But this was the batch that I owned before, from which I took one before. At some point, you have to say...
At some point, you get a refill on Viagra. It's just, you're still getting a new
vile.
So are you going to tell me that if someone had strep throat as a kid, and they took medicine for it once, I don't want to go that far. And then 80 years later, they get strep throat again, now they can take medicine.
I don't want to go that far.
I mean, they can anyway, it's strep throat.
Right,
you know what I'm saying?
But yeah, I don't want to go that far.
What about if you ran out of it on Shabbos and you go to the pharmacist to get it?
However you get it on Shabbos, right?
Then maybe it's more of a concern.
I don't know. I mean, the whole thing
was for strep.
No, we're talking about a case where you would be justified in taking medicine on Shabbos.
For the backaches or whatever, the celebration.
Okay, so you
have to come up with a better case because the backache also may justify Shabbos.
Especially with what I had would have justified it. Yeah.
But the point is not that. That's not really the conversation. The conversation is you're opening up the possibility that anything that somebody took medicine for once, he'll now be able to take medicine for life. On Shabbos.
But it's more, a little more than once because it's ongoing.
Didn't say that.
It sounds like it's a
never said that.
Elo rak lefi hatzorach.
No, he takes when he needs it. Yeah, he doesn't take it every day. He takes it when he needs it.
Rak lefi hatzorach.
Right, lefi hatzorach. That can happen once.
He's got it. He's got a condition for which he's taking it.
Person's got migraines.
When he needs.
It's not every day. But
right. Right. The migraine
is a very, very hard thing for me.
The migraine sufferer is a nice example.
Well, except that migraine also justifies it. We said migraine is considered to be not a limit of something that makes somebody bedridden. Let's finish this paragraph here. Ba'omnam. Kosev Shmir Shabbos Kehel Chasav B'Shem HaGoner Shlomo Zalman Orbach Zatzal, who remember had a different argument regarding continuing medicine that he started before Shabbos, that it's because of Nezek, it's because of harm. Derak imahaf sakat tigrom lo Nezek, only if halting the medicine would cause him harm. V'ukvar hitcha lakachtam milipnei Shabbos, and he already started before Shabbos. O sherefoi hidavka misper yamim retzufim asher mulchach liyo Shabbos b'neim, or it has to be for a certain number of days, which must include Shabbos. So it's because he's ill that we're allowing him to do this. Ki az mutar. That's when it'll be permitted. Ach amrli ha-mori yara rav noivir shlita shegam kan kevin shu lokech azel afi atzarech. He says, taking it as needed will count even within Rosh Shlomo Zalman. Also, again, the Sakanas Eiver argument. Wild. Absolutely wild. But, you know, all very big names.
That's Sakanat Eiver. There's very few cases that you can sort of...
Yeah, what isn't Sakanas Eiver now?
Right. There's very few cases that you can actually come on call for the nursing homes.
Okay. It's also sort of a strange situation where it's different between people. So let's say you're 20 years old and believe it or not, you've never had a headache in your life.
Mm-hmm.
So your next door neighbor has had headaches on and off. He's allowed to take an aspirin that Shabbos and you can because it's the first time.
That is correct. You got lucky.
Yeah.
That's correct. Wild. Okay. So that stops this point. And then he starts a great summary of which medications you're allowed to take and treatments you're allowed to have on Shabbos. If you need to take that, by the way, I feel terrible for the patient for whom they're beeping you. Oh, okay. Okay. Tipulim ulikichat trufot sikum dinim, a summary of laws. It's still there. It's right here. I just I ended my packet, but you're just right. Keep right on going. You're through the number one. Cholish sheyesh bo sakana. So first of all, somebody who's dangerously ill. One, trufos she'enon hechrechios, unnecessary treatment for somebody who is dangerously ill. Meaning, you have someone who's dangerously ill, but that's this problem he has, and I have a treatment for something else that he also has, but that's not a danger. Mutar l'chol sheyesh bo sakana lehishtamesh b'trufot gam im einan hechrechiyot v'hatzalato mehasakana. He says the patient who is dangerously ill may take medicine even if it's not necessary to save him from danger. Kigon, for example, kadur l'hargaat ke'ev abamen ha-shinayim, let's say some kind of a painkiller for a toothache that he has. For which we'll say, if not considered dangerously ill, we treat him like somebody who is ill but not dangerously so, and he can take the medicine as long as it won't involve a biblical violation of Shabbos. You just have to be careful not to violate Shabbos biblically. Such as by asking a Jew to write a prescription. But short of that, it's going to be fine. Rav Moshe Feinstein discusses this and makes the point that the patient needs to be as healthy as possible to fight off whatever it is that he's facing, that is life and death. And on that basis, he says, you can do whatever you need to do to strengthen him for that. Machshir Idim. So Machshir Idim is a humidifier. You have a patient who's dangerously ill, who has trouble breathing, and he needs, I don't know if it's a nebulizer, a humidifier,
vaporizer.
He's allowed to use this, whether with cold water, or whether with hot water. If he has to use hot water, better to use hot water that was already on the fire from before Shabbos. Okay. The patient who is not in danger, but he has something severe. So, three. Muktza. Mutter gam l'chola she'en bo sakana l'kachas trufos. He's allowed to take medicine. Kol trufa harei muktza b'Shabbos u'b'yom tov. Technically, medicine is muktza on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Afilim tama einomar, even if it isn't a bitter tasting thing, because people don't eat it as food. V'aser latal talakim latarach hachole, may be carried only for the sake of the patient. Hayachole mi ba'odiyom, if he was ill before Shabbos, hari mikeven shendaito ala trufa, since he is thinking about the medicine, einena muktza, mutter latal talakim. It's not muktza, because he was thinking before Shabbos that he wanted to use it. Mutter lekros ania as niarha atifa shemi saviv latrufa, you're allowed to tear open the packet. But if you can avoid doing so in the place where there are letters, that's what you should do. Technically, it's destructive, and so it's a derabanan. But if you can avoid it, that's your first responsibility. Four, leforer olachtoch kadur, to crumble or to cut a pill. Mutter leforer kadur. He says you're allowed to crush a pill. What would the concern be? What's the concern with crushing a pill? The concern for crushing a pill would be grinding. Correct. However, because the ingredients in the pill start out as a powder that are then compressed to make a pill, there's no grinding after grinding. That's why this is not a problem. Gam mutter lachtoch kadur o psila l'shnei chalakim shavim. You would be allowed to cut a pill or a ptila. Ptila is a wick. I think these are something that they do with an emetic. So you could cut that into two even parts. The matarali shdamesh rak v'machatzit, planning to only use half of it. V'zos afilu v'makoma mesuman agabe trufa, even by cutting it on a line that's marked on the pill. The reason why this is such a surprise is because there is a prohibition on Shabbos. One of the malachos is mechatech. Mechatech is where you cut something to particular dimensions, particular dimension, particular shape, in order to increase its functionality. So, why am I allowed to do this? That's mechatech, it would seem. I'm cutting the pill by it to be a certain dimension. So take a look at footnote 33. Ve'ein bazem mishum iser mechatech. There is no issue of mechatech. Da'av shemakbid al amida, even though he wants that particular dimension, mekomako malachas mechatech shayachas rakim rotz lishtamesh achar kach bedavar achatuch. Ach lo kisharotz alivloa dechashiv ka'ochel. He says, mechatech is where you cut it to a certain dimension to make a useful item. This is how you're just eating and it's gone. It's like food. Minos, no one says you're not allowed to cut the kugel to a particular size because it's mechatech. V'gam psila sherotza achar kach lachnisa l'toch haguf, ditto for the wick that's going to be introduced into the body. Chashiv le'yin zeh ka'ochel, it's considered like food in the sense that it's going to be destroyed. Ve'od, and further, she'ikar hakpeda hi lekamut shel hatrufa ach lo lemida. Further, he says, really, it's not about the dimension of the pill. I guess he's not talking about where you're cutting it in half to make it easier to swallow. He's talking about where what you want is the volume of medicine. That's what you care about, not the dimensions of the medicine. Some people aren't even concerned. Let it go into two parts or three parts or whatever it is. It's not this shape that I want. He doesn't care about how long or wide it should be. He doesn't care whether you cut it lengthwise, widthwise, or on a diagonal. That's where Shabbat Gilchas. That's why it's not mechatech. So one reason is because it's going to be destroyed, and the second reason is because I don't really care about the dimensions. In terms of the point about cutting on the line, which I would have thought makes it even more of a mechatech. So in footnote 34, he writes, "Ki matarata simun hina rak la kila shviras achalukas hatrufa." For the point of a marking is only to make it easier to break the pill. That's what he says. He heard from Shlomo Zalman. Okay. Good.
That's really if you forgot to do it before Shabbos.
I guess.
Right.
Yeah. Like many things.
Right.
Okay. We'll do five, and we'll stop with five. Trufos she'inan hechrechios. Treatments that are not entirely necessary. Lumat mashikasavnu le'el sivkatan one. Legabe cholesh yesh bo sakana. He says, we said in one, regarding the patient who was dangerously ill, that you do all these other treatments, just as long as you don't violate biblical law. Hare cholesh she'in bo sakana, if he's not dangerously ill, av kimutar lakachas trufos, even though he's allowed to take medicine, we're not going to permit him to take any medicine for some ache that he has. Shafat. Shafat is a runny nose.
Yeah, a cold.
Actually, he says, yeah, I know it's a cold. It is, because that's the line. Al-lola kachas kadul aga'at ke'ev kalsha. No, it can't be. Shafat is the serious illness. If someone has Shafat, so he's not allowed to also take a pill for Haga'at Kev Shekal Bishinat, for some kind of a light ache that he has in his teeth. Let's see what Shafat is. Hang on. Let's find out.
I thought Shafat was like flu.
That could be. Let's see what he's on. Machlazi, who means it's an infection that affects birds as well as...
Oh,
it's the flu. Yeah, no, it's the flu. Okay, bird flu. That's the flu.
That's good.
There we go.
Mosquito flu. I knew about it.
So if he has the flu, that's considered cholashein bosakana. So this is... he's allowed for the toothache also. That's the he's not allowed for the toothache also. Correct. All right, so we'll pick up with that, God willing, next week.